All right. So praise the Lord, and I would guess it would be on the heart of everybody here to say to themselves, all I want is the Lord's will for my life. All I want is to do whatever God wants me to do. Amen. Do you know the Lord has a will for you as well? In 1 Timothy, he says that he has the will. It is his will for two things. Two things. The first one is to be saved. Sorry, I'm not dressed excellently, Guy. Okay. Two things the Lord wills for us. In 1 Timothy 2:4, you can read it. It is A, to be saved. And the second thing the Lord wills for us in our life is to come to the knowledge of truth. And when you look at truth in the Bible, there's all other words that are surrounded truth. Mercy, judgment, kindness, grace, justice, and love. In fact, there are 224 references in the Bible that has the word truth in it. I was very excited this week. That's the word I felt the Lord wanted me to bring, the word truth. That's all he said to me. So I went through from cover to cover, and it's quite amazing the things you can find out, and just encourage you, pick a word, any word, and go from the beginning to the end and see what the Lord has to say about it. So he wants us to be saved, and he wants us to come to the knowledge of the truth. I want to start by reading another scripture here in 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. And I love this book. I mean, I love all the books in the book. It's just fabulous. 1 John 1, verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. So that's not truth, is it? If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So what is truth? When I read this scripture, it says that we lie and do not the truth. It tells me that truth is not a passive knowledge. So when the Lord says he wants, it's his will to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth, there's actually things that need to be done when we look at truth. Not only that, it's not the actual mental knowledge per se, because I can know this book verbatim, cover to cover, and still be no better off, but it's having the knowing of the truth, the intimate knowing of the truth. It's got to get into us. There's got to be a connection. There's got to be contact with the truth to be able to know it, not just words on a book. I want to have a look at a story here in Mark 5, and it's the lady with the issue of blood. She'd been suffering this for quite a long time, and we'll pick it up, from verse 28, chapter 5 in the book of Mark. She's saying to herself, I've had enough of this. If I touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straight away, she's obviously touched his clothes, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus said, see, she'd had contact with Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, all the people around, and said, who touched me? Who touched my clothes? What was that all about? And his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? What are you going on about? There's people everywhere. And he looked around about to see her, the lady, who had done this thing. Verse 33, but the woman, fearing and trembling, what does she do? Knowing that was done in her, so she knew she was healed right there because she'd had contact with Jesus. She came and she fell down before him and told him all the truth. So can you imagine the scene? She would have been absolutely so emotional. She's just been healed. She knew that she just had to touch his garment. She knows that he knows that someone's touched her. So here she comes, fearing and trembling, but she knows she's just got to come before the Lord and say, look, Jesus, I need to tell you, I've had this issue for all these years, and I just knew if I just came and touched your garment. And maybe she didn't know if she was going to be in trouble or not, but she knew, and Lord, I've been healed. Jesus, you've healed me, you've healed me, you've healed me. And so we talk about the fact that she had a lot of faith, but isn't it interesting that she came, and what did she say to Jesus? The truth. He who says that he is the truth, she tells the truth too. It's quite amazing. And we know, we read in John 8, it says that the truth shall set you free. So here is this woman with this issue, has personal contact with Jesus. She's immediately healed. She comes to him. She gives him all the truth. She is set free because the truth will set you free. This woman met with God and she was made whole. Amen. John 14:6 sums up Jesus' words perfectly. We should all know it. What does Jesus say? I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. And when you go through and you read in the Gospels about Jesus, he says over and over and over again, I tell you the truth, yada, yada, yada. I tell you the truth, this, that, and the other. I tell you the truth, there are many mansions in my Father's house. If it were not so, I would not tell you. I tell you the truth, I tell you the truth. Because he is the truth. So that's all he can do is say the truth. Check out this story in John 18. Jesus comes before Pilate. John 18, verse 37. So he's coming before Pilate. And Pilate says to him, are you a king then? And Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Out of everything that Jesus could say, he says, it's this reason. You say that I'm the king, but I've come for this reason, to bear witness to the truth. That's quite amazing. He bears witness to himself because he is the truth. It's quite amazing. But you know these words about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life is nothing new. And when you go through the Old Testament, we see people calling out to the Lord saying, but Lord, you are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life. Abraham's servant, we can go back and read that in Genesis. If you remember, Abraham did not want Isaac to marry the people in the town. He wanted to marry a woman from his hometown. So he sends a servant to the hometown to go and find a wife. And as he's traveling, he's freaking out thinking, how am I going to pick this woman? What's going on? And she had to be from a particular household and all the rest of it. So whether he was distressed or not, I'm not too sure. But in Genesis 24:27, he puts it to the Lord before he gets there. All right, God, you know all things. You know the woman that's set apart for my master's son. So as I come, if a lady offers to draw up water for my camels, she's the one. And in verse 27, this is after he'd met her. It's after he's realized there's plenty of room in her house for him to go and stay. He looks up and he says, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth, I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. So in truth, he came in mercy and truth. And he was in the way. He was walking in the way. that God had purposed for him. And then, of course, Isaac gets married and life continues on. Abraham's seed continues on. Joshua even says to the people, choose whether you're going to cross the river or not. You can come this way. This is the truth. This is what God is saying. You can come this way and you can have life. But if you want to stay, stay. And we know, Pastor Guy has shared before, that the people who did not cross over the Jordan were the first ones to be wiped out. And as they take that land, they wipe out all the people that have other gods set before them, because there is only one way. There is only one God. There is only one God that is worthy to be worshipped. Everything else in this world, and it's no different to way back then, is an absolute lie, is an absolute disgrace. It comes to steal and rob and destroy. All these little images and statues that you see around the place, it is nothing but a lie. I want to look at Hezekiah quickly as well, because he really acknowledges the fact that he was in the way, the truth and the life. Let's go over to 2 Kings. And you can read what he says in 2 Chronicles, so we might have a look at that as well. In 2 Kings 20, verses 2 and 3. So in those days Hezekiah was sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah came to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Man, I would not like a prophet to come up to me and say, "Set your house in order, you are going to die and you are not going to live." Hezekiah immediately turned his face to the wall and he just started praying to the Lord. He says, "Lord, I beseech you now, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before you in truth," not just walking before you, "I'm walking before you in truth and with a perfect heart." So our hearts need to be right before the Lord as well. "And I have done that which is good in your sight, and wept no more." So Isaac gives him that word. Hezekiah has a cry, calls out to the Lord as Isaac's walking back. Sorry, I'm getting all my names mixed up, aren't I? There's no prayer meeting on Tuesday. As Isaiah walks out of the house, the Lord says, "Go back and talk to him again." And he says, goes back in and says to Hezekiah, "The Lord has heard your prayers. You will live for another 15 years. Let's have a look at 2 Chronicles 31. It's the same story. Verses 20 and 21. "And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God, and in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did with all his heart and prospered." So he lived, and it was always tantamount in his mind to follow the commandments of the Lord. So it's quite amazing, and there's more there. There's heaps more in there that you can see Old Testament times, even before Christ, that there was an acknowledgement that God is the way, the truth, and the life. And so if you go the wrong way, if you follow a lie, you will die. It's as simple as that. If Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, to go any other way, follow a lie, you're led into a lie, and you will die. And yet the world does not even know. The world today, we walk around, they don't even know that they're walking in lies. I'm reminded of that movie, The Matrix, many, many years ago. The people did not know that this was not reality. It was not until they took the red pill, they saw the reality of the world. And I recall one guy saying, that was in the real world, saying to another, "I wish I'd never taken that pill. I was having fun in my ignorance. Ignorance is bliss." And look, it may be bliss for a time, but in the end, it leads to destruction. Let's have a look at John 14:17. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. So isn't Jesus great? He knows he's got to go back to the Father. So he sends the comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. The world physically cannot receive, cannot understand the Spirit of truth, because it sees him not, neither knows him not. And it's amazing, you read in Jeremiah, Jeremiah's taught, the Lord is saying, look, these people, they resist the truth. They are men of corrupt minds. They are reprobate in their minds. They're absolutely out of control. They are not interested concerning the truth. They are not interested concerning the faith. So then what starts happening? Lies continue to come out of their mouth. And it's just amazing what the Lord shows Jeremiah about these people. Want to have a look at Jeremiah 9, verses 3 and verses 5. There's nothing new. Our leadership in government are speaking lies. They have a reprobate mind. They are not following the way. They have no truth. They speak lies. We know that it's just a stage show, a performance. It's theatre. When we see these people that are supposed to be the very authority of our country just carrying on with a circus act, when we have school officials and everything like that just create some brand new program because the last one was wrong, well, hello, in 6 months' time, you're going to introduce a new program because that one's not working, because you're not looking at the truth, because it's only the truth that will set them free. It's only the truth that will set these kids free, adults. The cycle just continues because their minds are reprobate. They resist the truth. The people that are in power have corrupt minds. And there's even a warning in the New Testament. Teachers of the gospel, pastors, they just get corrupt, whether it's money or power or whatever. They become corrupt and they lead the sheep away. They err from the truth. Why do they do it? Because they don't want to come to the knowledge of the truth. They don't want to have that intimacy of the truth, because truth has a name. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So I'm getting off track there. Jeremiah, let's find Jeremiah. Jeremiah 9. These prophets, I just love them. My heart goes out to them. Man, they would have had it tough, but you know what? They just hung on to the Lord for dear life. Every fibre of their being, everything about them was consumed in the Lord. That's all they wanted to do. They wanted to be with the Lord all the time. Didn't matter that men mocked them or threw them into jail or whipped them or did whatever, because it was all about the Lord. Just absolutely wonderful. See, the Lord says to them here, they bend their tongues like their bows for lies. They can't help it. Chapter 9, verse 3. And they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. And this is what we see today. Those people, whoever they are, the people of power, the people that be, they're not even interested in the truth. They're not interested on the truth upon the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me. See, there it is. They don't know him, says the Lord. And verse 5, and they will deceive everyone his neighbour and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity. And so there comes a point in time, and I wonder if this is where you get pathological liars from. They have just trained themselves to lie so much that they think it's the truth, but they deceive themselves. And they have taught their tongue to lie. So when we come to Christ, there has to be a season of change where the lies don't operate anymore, because now we've walked into truth. They just love their lies. They want to commit iniquity. It says they weary themselves out committing iniquity. They're like, I'm so tired. I've done all this iniquity today. I'm carrying on. I've got a reprobate mind. I want to go and sin. I've sinned so much today. I'm so tired. They weary themselves to commit iniquity. Far out. We look at the religious people of today. They make all these traditions of man that bind people up. And so then the name of Jesus becomes effective in their life. But Jesus said he's come to set them free. He's come to set them free from the captivity. And I want to tell you that Jesus will set you free from all your captivities. Whatever is tormenting you, whatever is holding down, it will not be able to hold you down any longer if you come to the man whose name is truth, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's go into the New Testament, Romans 1. So we can't fool ourselves. It's ridiculous. If we fool ourselves, we're just deceiving ourselves. We're partaking of lies. We need to have that clean heart before the Lord, just as Hezekiah did. Show us, Lord. Show me. What are the key principles in your word, Lord, that I need to follow? That's a great start. Romans 1, 21 to 32, you've probably already read it. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. So they start dreaming up all sorts of things. And their foolish heart was darkened. So if you start following things that are not truth, your heart becomes dark. And even though it is God's will for salvation for all men, it's really sad to say there are people that just won't get there because their hearts are so darkened, their minds are so corrupt, they absolutely love their iniquity. They just will not choose the truth. And it's kind of like a deer in the headlights. If you're walking down Spring Acre Road late at night or Mount Cotton Road late at night, and all of a sudden, a kangaroo comes out and it sees the headlights. What does it do? It just freezes. So if I'm walking in darkness, like this kangaroo that I've hit, is running around in darkness, and all it does suddenly sees the light, it just freezes. It doesn't even know what it is. Doesn't know what to make of it. And so we need to ask the Lord for help every time we come and we speak truth. Lord, cover this so that they hear it. Take the scales off their eyes so they see it, because otherwise they're going to look at it and just think, are you kidding? Look at what the media has done to the world out there. You can't even have decent conversations with people because they believe all the lies that are spread on the media, and there's so much information to disprove what has been shared on the media anyway. The stories and the garbage that comes out, the way they cover up every single story, it drives me nuts, and people believe it as truth, but they can't handle the truth because their lives are so corrupt and caught in lies. Church, we need to pray. We need to pray for our country. We need to pray for the people in leadership. Any wonder God told us to do it? Because otherwise they're just going to be like pigs in mud. Well, I guess pigs are happy in mud. Well, they are. They're happy in their mud and their filth. Anyway. Oh, dear me. And the word shows us there's just so much warning about erring from the truth. You only become the captive of lies, but it's the truth that sets you free. Hallelujah. The truth changes us, and we know this when we walk with the Lord. He changes us. The truth changes us. Ephesians says that the truth changes our speech. We stop backbiting. We stop carrying on. We stop swearing. Our speech changes. Peter says that the truth purifies our soul. The truth keeps us in right standing before the Lord. Titus says that the truth brings us to godliness. And 1 John says that the truth enables us to walk in love. Hallelujah. That's exciting. Now, of course, no message on truth would not be complete unless we look at Ephesians 6 and we look at the armour of God. But first I want to have a look at Psalms 91:4. Maybe you can get your eyes on Ephesians 6 first. Psalms 91:4. Because, you know, even in the armour of God is not new in the New Testament. Do you know it's in the Old Testament as well? Awesome. I love this word. Far out. God is so amazing. Hallelujah. Psalm 91:4. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shall you trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. And so I just want you to remember that in the back of your head, back of your mind, I should say. So a buckler is the surrounding things. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. Do you know that Isaiah actually prophesied about Jesus and the armour of God? Let's have a look at that. We were in Isaiah before, were we not? No, I was talking about Isaiah. Sorry, and I was calling him Isaac. Can't wait to meet these guys. Can you imagine it? Just be awesome. 59, if you want to follow me. Well, don't follow me because, well, I do know where I'm going because I'm following the Lord. Hallelujah. Isaiah 59, verses 16 to 21. Check this out. This is insane. I love it. If I can find the right scripture. All right, here we are. And he saw that there was no man and wondered, there's no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, and to the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Isaiah was prophesying about Jesus when he was saying this. So, first of all, he says there was no intercessor. Well, hallelujah, now we have an intercessor. We know Christ intercesses for us. It says he bought his arm for salvation. Well, his arms, this is how I'm looking at it, his arms were up at that cross, enabling us to have salvation. And his righteousness, it sustained him. You know, Jesus Christ, we hear that he did not replace the law, he fulfilled it. Because he was totally obedient, he was totally pure, he was totally holy, he was totally right, he was the only one that could absolutely fulfill the law. He did nothing wrong regarding the law, and so he was the only one that could die to replace us. And so it was his righteousness that sustained him. As we walk as Christians, it's our righteousness in him that sustains us. Hallelujah. He put on, verse 17, he put on righteousness as a breastplate, covers his heart, we learn. A helmet of salvation, it says that in Ephesians 6, a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance. Well, you know, when he comes again, it's all over. There's no time to repent. When he comes again, the job's done. If you have not made a decision for the Lord then, there's no chance, I'm sorry to say, and you're going to be wiped out. And that's just the way it is. Interesting that it's been prophesied in the Old Testament about what we're going to read now in Ephesians 6. It talks about putting on the whole armour of God. And we do this in Sunday school and everything like that, but I just want to bring something a little different that I felt the Lord show me. And I think it's very exciting. So, finally, brethren, so after everything else has been said and done, Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Hallelujah. Put on the whole armor of God. So obviously we're not to just pick and choose. We need the whole armor so that we can be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We know that we have an enemy when we come to the Lord, but we know that the devil is the father of lies. So he's the one that will put thoughts in your head and to torment you. Just even someone I know this week as well had said, you know, God's telling me I've got a plan. Why am I hearing this voice in my head saying, go jump off a cliff? Because he's the father of lies and he wants to destroy you. He's very jealous. So we put on the whole armor of God. Am I in the right place here? Thank you. I will stand. Okay. Yes, thank you. Thank you. All righty. Yes, let's go down. Thank you. Guide. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And we call it the belt of truth, don't we? It's interesting, that's the first mention. Out of all the pieces of armor that we could wear, doesn't mention the helmet of salvation, doesn't mention the breastplate of righteousness. Out of all the things he could mention, it's the truth. Gird your loins up with the truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So take all that, put it on and stand. And then, of course, it goes on to say about praying and to pray always. You know, it's interesting. It starts with truth and then it finishes with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And this is the truth. So it's interesting that we put on the armor of God. It starts with truth and it ends in truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and Omega. Jesus is truth. The belt is on this, in the center of the armor. Remember, I read that scripture in 91:4. It talks about the shield and the buckler, and the shield was the word of truth. Here it is. And the buckler was surrounding it. So we have our loins girt about with truth. It's in the middle. And everything else is surrounding us and covering us. So if we walk in truth, we've got life surrounding us. We can confidently, if our heart is right before the Lord, walk the way that we need to be going. I just think that's absolutely amazing. It finishes and ends with truth. So in finishing up, I want to ask the question, how important is truth to God? In Psalm 138, it actually says that truth is above the name of Jesus, above his name. Your truth is above your name. It is higher than your name. Psalm 138, verse 2, if you want to check it out. So his truth is higher than his name. It's above the name. The name is the authority that administers the truth. The truth and the word and the authority all have the same name. And that is the name of Jesus. I want to finish with another psalm. Psalm 25:5. I hope your fingers have had a very good workout this morning. Psalm 25:5. And this is what I love. This is David. David wrote this psalm. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you do I wait all the day. How awesome is that? Lord, lead me in your truth and teach me, because you are the God of my salvation. On you do I wait all day. And so how do I get myself on the path of the way? How do I get myself to follow the way and the truth and the life? You might say, Sharon, I'm living lies. I'm caught up in all this stuff. I've got all this captivity. I've had all this weird spiritual stuff happen to me. What do I need to do about it? Well, I would say to you, if there's some weird stuff going on, God's probably trying to grab your attention. And he does that. He brings circumstances around in our life so that we are forced to look at him. I know in my life, I've got no choice but to trust God, because I've placed myself in that position. And I'm happy to be in that position because God is faithful and he will never, ever, ever let me down. And so to start on that path, that is the way and the truth and the life, you need to acknowledge that that name is the name of Jesus. The one that is truth, the one that is the way, and the one that is the life has a name. His name is Jesus Christ. And you need to understand, just as we shared in some of those scriptures today, to come into the truth, we need to say to God, I'm very sorry that I've believed all these lies. I'm very sorry that I haven't gone your way, that I've gone my own way. I'm very sorry, Lord, that actually, you know what, if I keep continuing the way I'm going, I'm going to die. And so God is so great. God himself, the truth, whose will it is for us to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth, made a way, and he made the way, he sacrificed himself so that we can come into those things that he wants us in. It's quite exciting. So all we have to do is come to the Lord with a heart that says, Lord, I'm sorry. I do not want to live my life anymore the way I'm doing it, because I can see it's only going to lead to destruction. And let me say, if it's any other life apart from the life God has got for you, it will lead to destruction. Take all the money to the bank on that statement. I can guarantee it. I have full confidence in it. But God is so great that when you do that and you come before the Lord and you say those things, oh, man. You know, he's got mercy and truth, mercy and grace. God is so good. His mercy is his compassion, and his grace is all of his benefits. Hallelujah.